News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8.07, and we've got ourselves another pleasant day. The weather's been really, really 80 for the high yesterday.
That's crazy.
And it broke a record that's been around 137 years or something crazy like that. That's 139. It was 1887 that the record high was, like 79. We hit 80 yesterday and broke that record from 1889.
Yeah, GC texted in and said about that record high in 87. What was 87. Going on? What was going on then to cause a record high? Carbon monoxide, too much manual labor. Oh, I got it. Too many outhouses around. So GC finding it pretty funny that record high back in 1887. Yeah. And no parades yesterday. That was the rain day. But from here on out, it's going to be busy downtown for Mardi Gras. The Mystic Stripers roll tonight, 6:30 on Route A. And then tomorrow we keep it rolling all the way through Fat Tuesday. And FM Talk 106.5, we will be out Saturday around noon for the floral parade. We'll be rolling with the crew of St. Jude. So just look for the FM Talk 106.5 mobile command unit. And then following that, we have the marine float that our buddy Tom Claxton gets and makes available for us every year. So look for Tom. Look for the whole team back there. We'll be happy to see you out there Saturday. Yeah. Downtown.
So rain looks like on Sunday. It looks like the rain may hold off Saturday night, maybe after the MOTs. Great, right?
Hopefully.
Right. Now, of course, the People's Parade and all the joking fun, like you were pointing out, they're going to be down there one way or the other with the attitude of the Sunday parades. It'll dampen it a bit, I'm sure. But anyway, just looking at this. So the temperatures, the high temperatures right through Fat Tuesday, in fact, through Ash Wednesday, are all going to be low to mid-70s. Mm-hmm. The coolest day will be Monday. It'll be sunny, but it'll be about 70 degrees. The nighttime lows down around 50 to 60 degrees, somewhere in there.
So Monday's a little President's Day, Lundi Gras combo, I believe. Monday, President's Day as well.
Oh, wow.
I think it is.
I think you're right.
A little double holiday there for you, which all the kids, I guess, would have been out anyway for Mardi Gras. That's how they do it around here. But President's Day just adding to it. So it looks like some really nice weather for everyone who's going to be trying to get out and get downtown.
Yeah, I don't remember a stretch this nice and comfortable because, again, the weather's often changes this time of year. We did have a couple of cold snaps, but for the most part, what's been interesting is the temperatures have bounced back quickly. Like had a low of 18 on a Monday. The next day, this was last Monday, the next day it was 70. So when we do have these cold snaps, they don't last long. And this season, that has definitely been the case. So get out, enjoy downtown parades. Deep Gras begins tonight, and it should be a lot of fun.
We have a lot to talk about, and we'll also talk with Rob Holbert just after 8:30. Rob Holbert with Lanyap, of course, and plenty to get into with him regarding a lot of local news, but also a lot going on in Montgomery and bills that are passing, bills that are being debated. I think it's interesting that this Public Service Commission bill brought by State Representative Chip Brown, it's seen some detractors kind of popping up these last few days since it really began being debated on talk radio and in the halls of the State House. But it's also gained a pretty big backer yesterday in Senator Tommy Tuberville, who, of course, is the odds-on favorite to be the next governor. Mm-hmm. He was speaking in the press with his weekly conference call and said he fully supports this affordability protection plan, which is, it's three bills, right? And one of those bills, has to do with how the public service commissioners are selected. You have three that are on the PSC, and currently they go through election cycles, but what this bill will change is they'll make it an appointed position. So the governor will appoint one of those commissioners, the House Speaker the other, and then Senate President Pro Tem the other, and then all three have to be confirmed by the Senate. So once this bill was brought up, and the other two bills that are part of this too, I think are also really important, require data centers to pay the full cost of grid upgrades, and also it scales back certain long-term tax incentives that don't really mesh with the times these days. These were back from when Bentley was governor. But I thought it was interesting that Tuberville, as it seems like a lot of the public around here, is pushing back against this bill because it takes the election aspect out of the Public Service Commission. Yep. They feel like it takes a takes away from their power. The public does.
Yeah, it feels a little bit like we know what's best.
Let us handle it.
And people, you know, get their backs up about that from time to time. And I think that's what's going on right now.
Yeah, and you have some that initially, some politicians who are initially behind this bill now kind of backing off now that they're seeing the public response. Like State Senator Linda Coleman Madison, she co-signed this bill. She co-sponsored it. And now she's saying she is a no vote after hearing from the public. And I think Vivian Figures also co-sponsor of this as well.
Yeah.
And it sounds like, I don't know if she's said she's a no vote now, but it sounds like she might be kind of stepping back from it a little bit.
Wow.
Actually, I know there was an article.
I saw one yesterday.
Lanyap, yeah. So Kyle Hamrick wrote about Figures and also about State Senator Albritton. Sessions, I'm sorry. So Figures and Sessions, co-sponsors of Singleton's bill. Figures told Lanyap she supports the bill because it contains a provision that states the governor, speaker, and president pro tem must, quote, coordinate appointments so that the commission membership is inclusive and reflects the racial, gender, geographic, urban, rural, and economic diversity of the state. Figures said she does not think the commission has ever had a non-white person for a member since its inception more than 100 years ago. Quote, my hope is that by having them appointed, we would have more of a chance for diversity on there. I signed on because to me, it increased the probability of getting some diversity. So her excuse, or her reasoning, not excuse, her reasoning is, hey, if the public isn't going to put a black person on the Public Service Commission, yep, then maybe one will be appointed. So it sounds like that's why she's backing this. But then when she was asked by Lanyap whether she had concerns about there no longer being elections for it, she declined to answer. Instead, she said the bill could be amended to change that if necessary. Quote, all bills can be tweaked in some way or another or amended in some way or another. There are a number of positions that are appointed and are not elected positions. So maybe it seems like Figures still on board with this bill, but some certainly are taking a step back as Tuberville jumps in and says he's on board. He wants to see this change. And of course he does, because he's the next governor, yeah, right? He's likely to become the next governor. And he feels that the current way the Public Service Commission is put in office, they're elected, and more so their actions as public service commissioners, he feels that that's going to slow the state down big time. And in his words, there's a land rush that's ongoing. New industry, energy demands growing. He says he's worried about ratepayers getting completely jobbed on this, that we're having to pay way too high in rates. And he puts that all at the feet of the Public Service Commission. Huh. One of his quotes, I guess I should say, from his call yesterday, Alabama is one of only 10 states that elect their public service commissioners. And even with that, all three of Alabama's current commissioners have been appointed, not elected. We need to raise the bar and ensure the right qualified people are overseeing our utilities, not politicians looking for their next job or doing political favors when they're up for re-election or election.
Appointed by the governor?
I think so. You had Twinkle Kavanaugh. She was, remember, she's part of the Trump administration now, and that led to someone being appointed to fill her role.
Right.
For the rest of them, let's see, you have Chris Beaker. He's placed two. He completed the remaining term of his father, Chip Beaker, who stepped down from his seat. So this was back 2024. So that's how two of the seats ended up getting filled. You had one that took Twinkle Kavanaugh's spot, and then you have Chip Beaker, who took the spot of his father, Chris.
Yeah.
Now, the other one, I'm not exactly sure, but it is kind of ironic that as they make this argument that you need to have they need to be appointed by the governor, House Speaker, and Senate President pro tem, because this commission's doing such a poor job, that all three of them that are in now were also appointed by the governor.
So that's a three-person, basically, commission that's going to appoint members of the PSC.
Yeah, so you'll have the
governor.
The governor gets one, House Speaker gets one, Senate President pro tem gets the other, but have to be confirmed by the Senate.
Okay, they each get their guy. You're on first base, you're on second base, I get to vote for the guy in shortstop, right?
Yeah.
Like that?
Okay. And then the Senate has to confirm them. So it's interesting that Tuberville came out really for it, for that bill, because he seems to usually be on the same side as most voters, you know. He kind of a populist figure for sure.
Yeah.
But also, is this a big enough story that Jimmy's and Joe's in Alabama even care about who appoints or doesn't appoint the public service commissioners?
I don't think so. I don't know. So politicians, obviously, looking at this through the lens of a politician, right? Where does my stance help or hurt me with the voting public? That's something they'd want to know for sure. But does it matter that much? I don't know. It's almost one of those things. If the announcement were just whispered and not announced, I don't know that anybody would really dig it out or care that much about it if suddenly that vote was left off the ballot.
Yeah.
Right? But also it is a group that does come under scrutiny because of some of the decisions or maybe some of the lack of activity that people have recognized in the past or complained about, right?
Yeah, more often it seems.
You can complain about something, at least when you're going to have the vote, you can complain about them. If you're not even part of that,
yeah,
then you may feel pretty stifled in the whole argument of everything. I don't even get a chance to vote on something I used to vote on.
Yeah.
I think that's where the rub is.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right on that. And then quickly, just one more piece of kind of local news. And I know we also want to talk about this Epstein thing, too.
There was get to that after the break.
Big, big hearing yesterday. And you listened to a podcast that some listeners were recommending. But
yep.
For this local project, this solar project in Stockton, you now have State Senator Chris Elliott. He was kind of the first to come out publicly and say he opposes Stockton 1 and Stockton 2, the 4,500-acre solar energy project. And he cited environmental concerns from the mouth of Chris Elliott, if I could pull this up really quickly. He said while the project is outside of his district, he's worried about the ecological impact. Quote, I passed legislation to ban mud dumping in Mobile Bay in order to protect the environment that makes Baldwin County such a special place to live. And for that same reason, I oppose the proposed solar energy complex in Stockton.
What are the environmental concerns?
Well, he continued, while the project is not located in my district, it's important for all of us to stand tall together. He said the wetlands are crucial to the county's commercial fishing, shrimping, and crabbing industry. Quote, Alabama has more than 50,000 square miles of land, so there are plenty of other areas outside of Baldwin County that could host this project without threatening wetlands that feed our commercial seafood industry and provide jobs to our friends, families, and neighbors. And since then, many more local representatives, especially with this 1819 News article from Erica Thomas, those running for AL1 have come out against this solar farm.
Okay.
You have
all of them.
Former Congressman Jerry Carl announced his opposition to any, quote, New Deal ventures. Alabama and Americans across the country elected President Trump in part to end the Biden era Green New Deal programs. That legacy should not continue in our community. He said that after speaking with community members and environmental advocates, he has determined that the project should be placed on hold. Quote, we must ensure that major corporations do not take advantage of our citizens for their own gain. The people of Baldwin County deserve a clear voice in shaping their future, and I will always fight to protect their right to have a say in how our community grows and prospers. Austin Sidwell said he opposes the project. He was, I guess, at the town hall in Stockton Monday. He says it was rushed through without the community receiving adequate information. State Representative Rhett Marcus also issued a statement. He said that common sense and the people are top priorities for him. Quote, the residents of Stockton deserve a voice in their community's future, and I stand with them in opposition to the proposed solar farm being forced on them. Common sense conservation has always been a top priority for me. Earlier this session, and he points to, like State Senator Elliott, to the mud dumping bill. He said, I passed a bill to end mud dumping in Mobile Bay and stood strong to protect our God-given natural resources. Joshua McKee, a little more outspoken, he called the project a monstrosity, said lawmakers should put the people before special interests. He called it a predatory land grab by out-of-state interests that threatens our community's heritage. Well, that escalated quickly, didn't it?
It did. And, I would propose, I think I said this the other day, I don't think it was an accident at all that the way this thing rolled out with people having no idea was coming. And then you hear the spokesperson or the CEO from that company try to explain it all.
Mm-hmm.
But after they've got their foothold in, right?
Right.
Not an accident, I don't think. 821, Dan and Dalton, more on the Epstein files coming up.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings, good to have you along. I did listen to that podcast. We'll get into this a little bit with Ro Khanna. He's the Democrat. You have Thomas Massie, the Republican, who jointly made a statement on what's going on with the Epstein files. And so he was on Sean Ryan's podcast. Sean Ryan, a former SEAL, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. And anyway, after listening to that, I guess I probably listened and watched the hearing in a different mindset.
Yeah, you said you came away with a new perspective.
Yeah.
So yesterday that hearing was awfully fiery. And you had, of course, Attorney General Pam Bondi and House Judiciary Democrats. But maybe the most tense exchange was with Massie yesterday, who is a libertarian. Caucuses with the Republicans, of course. But this all had to do with the release of those millions of Epstein documents. Ranking member Jamie Raskin accused Bondi of ignoring victims and shielding powerful associates. She fired back, calling Raskin a washed-up loser lawyer, accused Democrats of politicizing the issue because Trump is in office, said, where were you when Biden was in office? Some Republicans, including Massie, also criticized the DOJ for redacting names of alleged co-conspirators while unmasking some victims. And Bondi said any improper redactions would be corrected and defended the department's actions. But this went on and on and
it
on.
It was nasty. And these things often are partisan and nasty. This was not just about the partisan. And I'll tell you why here in a moment. This is Raskin.
You acted with some mixture of staggering incompetence, cold indifference, and jaded cruelty towards more than 1,000 victims raped, abused, and trafficked. This performance screams cover up.
So here's Bondi.
There is no evidence that Donald Trump has committed a crime. Everyone knows that. This has been the most transparent presidency.
So where do I go here? Well, go ahead.
I'll just say, I think, you know, there's bedside manner. That's what they call it when you have a good or a poor doctor at giving bedside manner. Mm-hmm. I guess in politics, it's rhetoric, right? And I think that in a lot of ways, the way the Trump administration has gone about these files has been absolutely just the worst way they could have gone about it. And it probably made it look worse for them than it could have if they'd been about it. But some of these members of the administration, I think, just have really poor bedside manner or the knowledge when to use certain type of rhetoric. And Bondi, I think, is one of them.
Yeah.
She could have responded maybe in a different way to a lot of those questions yesterday.
Wouldn't have come
off looking as poorly as she kind of did.
You're exactly right, because when you look at what these cases are, how deep and dark this thing gets, that's what Ro Khanna talking to. And I get it. He's a Democrat. I get it. You know, we talked about that. But he and Massie working together, and then he was talking with Sean Ryan and just saying that Congress is shook up for a couple of reasons. Number one, they're seeing the depravity and the crimes that were committed, and there's a lot of this stuff that maybe is going to get out, maybe with names attached, maybe not. I don't know. But they are affected by that. Like, wow, didn't know. Didn't know it could be this dark. I didn't know people in this power structure could do these things.
It's darker than, even though it's illegal and terrible, it's darker than just, you know, 15, 16, 17-year-old girls being shuttled out there and having sex. It's worse than that in a lot of these cases.
It's worse than that.
Not that that's not already a terrible thing.
That whole thing is terrible. So what I'm saying about Bondi is she made it, even with Massie, like it was just it was politics being played, anti-Trump being played, Trump derangement syndrome. This thing is more than that. This thing is way more than that. And so that's where I think that she was off base. And I also think that Congress is now finding out, they're seeing all this evidence that they're not as powerful as they thought. They're Congress. It seems like a good gig. It seems like you're really in the power structure of it all. But is this thing, if it ever gets all untangled, Epstein's role in all of this is a head scratcher. How did this guy end up to be in this powerful a position with people all around the globe, mm-hmm. excluding China and Russia? They didn't play ball, but almost everybody else did. I think the online sleuths, the people, and you say they're already doing this. I think that with AI and other things that they're going to have accessible to them now, there are some narratives that are going to come out that are going to be like, that's crazy. That couldn't, you know, almost like Ricky was right this whole time. But here's the thing. They're going to, they may, if they can, where's the investigation is what Ron is saying. And I agree with him. There needs to be an investigation of this so you can have interviews, so you can talk to them one-on-one. People have been, you know, pretty much implicated in this thing, but not publicly yet. Talk to them one-on-one, and somewhere along the line, somebody's going to say something or somebody's going to defend themselves as opposed to someone else, and we're going to get to the bottom of it from some of the testimony.
Yeah. Well, you know, there have been investigations. I just think this is so involved and twisted up with intelligence from more than just our nation, but so many others. I think that's a big part of the reason why the feds are so unlikely to give up any more info. Rob Hulbert joins us.
Stay on top of big news and the local beat with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
That's us. 835 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Dan and Dalton. Here we go. Mardi Gras. Straight down the pike here beginning this evening with the Stripers. The Thursday evening parades, and on we go into the weekend.
And on we go. Let's look at the text line before we talk with Rob Hulbert from Lanyap. We were talking about, first you had State Senator Chris Elliott come out and officially oppose the Stockton Solar Farm project, and then learned this morning that everyone running for AL1 on the GOP side also coming out against this solar project. King of All Unnamed Texters said, maybe Stockton can just nix the solar farm idea. Fire Dog says, sounds like a bunch of kids in second grade on the schoolyard yelling, fight, fight, fight. Would you rather have a solar farm or a coal-fired power plant? It won't be visible from the road. They're going to have lambs on the ground for grilling, I guess. IT Jesus says, no solar, but a mile-long aluminum plant is okay. And he has the meme with the Muppets, Kermit. He's got his legs up on the desk and shaking his head. Pretty good meme there, IT Jesus. Damn Yankee says Jerry Carl is not currently in any official position, so he needs to sit down and color, he says. And Martin says, having more solar power is inevitable, but not in our green areas. Too many other places can be used, in the middle of the interstate, on top of big box stores, 100 acres here or there, etc. And then he says, boy, is that Pam Bondi hot when she's mad. So with all of those texts, we go to Rob Hulbert with Lanyap, who his crew has done just a fantastic job of breaking down this Stockton Solar Farm project since it really kind of hit the news. Good morning, Rob.
Yeah, hey, good morning. Well, it hit the news because Scott Johnson looked it up. That's the only reason anybody knows anything about this.
Yeah, so you were saying he this was not a story. This was not
He found this, like, looking through some filings.
Wow.
And saw this. That's how this is. That's how, why anybody knows about it.
Gee whiz. And,
you know,
wow.
So I just, you know, I'm gonna pat ourselves on the back.
Of course.
Because, you know, this is why having a newspaper is important. Just letting you know.
Very necessary.
Yeah, Scott just does an amazing job. He looks through stuff that, you know, you're not going to sit at home and look through this stuff. And he goes looking for things, and he found it. And, you know, and he found that, and he found that there's another one. You know, he found both of them.
Yeah, so to me, Rob, the way this story's taken shape, and, yeah, again, props to Scott and you guys, just absolutely outstanding coverage. But like so many things, it seems to me, this comes up and you go, wow, we didn't know a thing about this. It's definitely worth looking into. Is it environmentally safe? Will it, you know, cause property values around it to go down? What can we expect? To now where you have every single local politician coming out against it, it seems like we've gone from 0 to 100 very quickly, and that the answer is probably, like always, somewhere in the middle.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the big issue, the reason there's so much backlash is simply because it was done in secret.
Yeah.
It was done quietly. It wasn't brought up. I mean, even county commissioners were like, we don't know about it. We didn't know what was going on. And so it really created, I think, a lot of backlash from that standpoint. And people didn't have an opportunity to digest it before it started, you know, this started happening. And I think that's really where the big issue is. Now it's political. Of course, it's become political. The argument over whether, it's a good idea to have solar or not. You know, there's, we can get into politics about renewables and et cetera, but I think at this point it's just, you know, the Public Service Commission signed off on it quietly and it got done quietly and people are upset.
Yeah. And so the commission, they said basically they have no say in this, right? Weren't they saying that the county commission...
They have kind of claimed that, yes. But, I mean, there's you know, what you have a say over, and then there's the bully pulpit as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they can make things happen if they want it to happen, or they, I mean, I'm sure if they were vocal about it, it would be a different situation. But, I think the big part, again, is it's just that it came up in a way that people didn't have an opportunity to even talk about it. And that's really where the failure is on this part of it. And you have this nexus of big tech, you've got mm-hmm. big tech involved, which people are like, I don't like big tech. And you're sucking the energy out to go over and feed Meta's new facility. And
data center.
I think all those things coming together at once and is just, it's a kind of a perfect storm of things happening there that really upset folks.
Yeah, it's a little bit like the PSC thing where you're taking something away from us. Like, hey, wait a minute, I thought we voted on this, whether you did or didn't or didn't care. Suddenly with this thing, it comes in the dead of night or however you want to describe how this thing is what it is. And what I've said is that in my estimation, and Scott you could answer this if you agree, but it seemed to me that this is a playbook by this firm because they've already done it other places, and they come in the dead of night without any hullabaloo, and suddenly they're there, and then the CEO comes out and starts to make his statements to calm all the fears. It seems to me they've probably done this before.
Well, Dan, is it, almost anything like this, people would much rather ask forgiveness than permission a lot of times.
Exactly.
And it's just that kind of thing. This is why, segueing into the other big issue going on right now, this is why I think that the Public Service Commission should stay in elected office and not turn into this appointment system that we've got going, that they're trying to do in the legislature right now, which I hope that the public pressure on this is starting to turn the tide on that. But this is a prime example of why we need to have more control of Public Service Commission, not less. I think it is laughable. I listened to Chip Brown the other day. I'm talking to Sean, and I thought the logic is so circular that you get an F in logic class. He basically says, hey, we need to have, that we've got these two of these guys who are appointed right now. So we've got appointed people, so don't get upset about it. But doing such a terrible job, what we need is appointed. We need appointed people.
Right.
And, the governor's saying the same thing. We need to do something different because things are bad. But I've got these two people I appointed, and they're doing a great job. Which one is it? I mean, are they doing a bad job or not? And I mean, the problem with the PS, the Public Service Commission at this point is that they aren't doing their job. I agree, but this bill doesn't make them do their job, and it doesn't change anything. They could already be impeached. The legislature hasn't done anything about it. The people who are all of a sudden interested in the Public Service Commission have never shown any interest in the Public Service Commission over the last 24 years that I've been doing this. The governor's never shown any interest in it. The only interest in it, and Chip Brown says this up front, is that they saw what happened in Georgia, that somebody lost, that some of the incumbents lost, and they don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who doesn't want that is Alabama Power.
So some Democrats, they put up big money in Georgia. They end up winning a couple of those lesser fought for seats, but very important in the scheme of things as far as, like you said, how utilities are regulated. And they just don't want that happening here. Or you say Alabama Power doesn't want that happening here.
Well, look at it. You say, okay, well, they've built this whole straw man of, this Alabama Energy, this group Alabama Energy, which has been in the state for 12 years now, I've talked to Daniel Tate plenty of times, and it's always about getting prices down and keeping track of what Alabama Power is doing that is not legal. Those are usually what they're about. This whole thing of, well, oh, these groups from outside are going to come in and spend a bunch of money. Alabama Power spends millions every year. I mean, the KIV has received $336,000 from Alabama Power in the last 12 years. So I imagine that will continue with whoever is governor next, this kind of spending. Not to mention Alabama Power spends about $20 million a year from their foundation, their charitable foundation, and I'm making air quotes while I say that, which goes to just about, they sling money all over the state for just about anything that they want to have any kind of political pressure on.
Mm-hmm. And just as for instance, too, Rob, not to interrupt you, sorry, but
yeah.
I am aware that Alabama Power has got suites at the Auburn games and the Alabama games. Those things don't come cheaply. That's our taxpayer money.
Look, man, this is all the things that need to happen. What the biggest things that the utilities don't want, they don't want the Public Service Commission to do what it's supposed to do, which is to open the books and look at how they're making their money, what they're making, and how they're spending their money. They don't want that to happen, and they never do it, even though they are, by law, they're not required to do it, but they're supposed to do it. And they don't do it. This new bill does not require that. Yeah, I heard Chip talk about that the other day. He says this is what it's doing. It does not do that.
Hmm.
What it says is that they will have informational meetings once a year.
Once a year.
Basically, where they come in and have an informational meeting, which is, hey, how are things going? What is this? You know, talk about what they're doing. But it is not an opening of their books. It is not that's not what it requires.
Right.
That, you know, all these things, I think people are really getting, you know, I think we're being led by the nose on this thing.
And
it's not a good thing.
Well, just to, you know, kind of push back in a way, and I can't recall, because, you know, you and I forever, you and I and Dan or Sean when he's in here, we've been, you know, Twinkle Kavanaugh's been one of those commissioners.
Yeah.
We've said, what is she doing?
Right.
Who is she in charge? Why is she not doing her job? But was she elected or was she appointed? I mean, if she was elected, then that kind of goes into the same, like, if she kept getting elected. I don't think I ever, I know you're not supposed to tell people who you vote for. I don't think I ever voted for Twinkle once. She kept ending up back in office. But how does that play into this whole thing?
Well, I mean, it plays into it in that, you know, we get what we elect, but if you don't pay attention to it, I don't think that means that, you know, if that's the case, then we ought to look at everybody that we elect and say, well, we don't need to elect them because this person's not doing a good job.
Yeah.
Then we just ought to take that away and just make it an appointed position. The issue that I have, the biggest issue I have with it is that there is no guarantee that when you look at the governor's office, the governor does what the governor wants to do. The governor, by law, has to appoint people to the Ethics Commission. The Ethics Commission, when I wrote a story three years ago plus, there was one Ethics Commission. There's supposed to be five. There was one who was current, two that were expired, and two places that are empty.
Yeah.
The governor has still left. Those two spots have been empty for 3+ years.
Incredible. Incredible.
And there's nobody who will make the governor do it. So if the governor appoints and the Public Service Commission doesn't do its job, it's up to the governor to get rid of them. And if the governor doesn't want to, or the governor doesn't want to put another person in there, how do you make the governor do it? Who's going to make them do that?
Where's the attorney general on that? I forget where he's been on this.
He spends all his time signing on to letters in other states. The attorney general doesn't do anything. You know, we have the problem we have in this state is, you know, and you know, Chip Brown made that point the other day. Oh, well, the Public Service Commission is way more important than the Ethics Commission. Excuse me. The Ethics Commission is the only method we have of trying to curb a bunch of the corruption that goes on in this state.
Hmm.
And with that and the attorney general and neither one of them are doing the job. And when you handicap the commission by not having people on it, yeah, it makes it less important. And,
it's like, you know, priorities. We wouldn't watch an SEC game if there are only three refs on the field. We say, hey, there's something wrong with this. And that's, well, that's what's going on with the Ethics Commission. They're not even in place.
I mean, saying that this is going to take politics out of this is a joke to me. I mean, when all it does is it makes the people that the utilities can give money directly to the governor. Mm-hmm. They can give money directly to the Speaker of the House. They can give money directly to the President Pro Tem of the Senate. They give them money all the time. And so the concept that this somehow insulates the Public Service Commission from politics is a joke. What people need to do, what I hope happens is that I mean, I can tell you this, that we have heard, I have not seen a single comment from anybody who says, yeah, this is a good idea to have it appointed. People don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it'll get kicked back out. And what I do hope is that people will start to pay attention who's being elected to Public Service Commission. There are plenty of Republicans running for Public Service Commission against Jeremy Odom and Chip Beaker. And, you know, the concept that they don't have any money is a joke as well. Chip Beaker took in $67,000 in donations in January. He's got $120,000 sitting in his campaign fund right now. Jeremy Odom has over $100,000. He took in $20,000 in January. They're getting money.
Yeah.
So the idea that they can't compete, you know, that's another one of these things they keep saying. None of it makes sense. I know I sound like I'm preaching, but it's...
Tuberville coming out fully for this bill, if there were any Republicans thinking of jumping off on this legislation, that probably makes sure that it goes through, just having the likely future governor endorse it?
You know, I think what it should tell you, I have no idea. Yes, I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on this for them to vote for it.
Yeah.
Because you have, I mean, who's behind it? Have you heard Alabama Power say they don't want it?
No.
I mean, I can see all of their usual, you know, the fake news organizations that they run money through are all behind it. All of a sudden, the governor's behind it. You know, the potential next governor's behind it. You know, everybody's lining up for it. People, you know, in this state, politicians don't buck Alabama Power.
Right.
And, you know, and so you can kind of guess who wants this done and why they want it done. And the reality is that these public service commissioners that are in there right now they've rubber stamped every single rate increase that Alabama Power has asked for the last 6 years. And that's why your rates are so high. That's why we have the highest rates in the Southeast.
Yeah, wow. Lot to take in from this segment, Rob. But
Rob's
really,
rates aren't high if you want to get Lanyap. Those are good rates.
The rates on Lanyap, great
rates
value.
Rates on Lanyap
there.
Are very low. They're
very
30
low.
Cents a day.
Yes.
30 cents a day.
And breaking news we wouldn't even know about if it weren't for Lanyap. We appreciate it. LanyapMobile.com, that's the best way to sign up. And we'll talk again next week, Rob.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
You got it. Rob Hulbert with Lanyap. Had a mouthful right there.
Yeah. Some really important stuff. I mean, on its face, it seems like another boring government discussion, but PSC, we've been complaining about them for years. It's a huge topic, so is that solar farm. We come back, we'll wrap up Mobile Mornings and preview, I guess, April Marie Fogle filling in for Jeff. But right now, it's time for another Moon Pie Minute presented by Cammie's Old Dutch Ice Cream Shop.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, we'll speed read through some of these texts here in just a minute. First, let me tell you about Underdog Fantasy. Basketball still going strong. Fast breaks, buzzer beaters, block parties, they're all back. Underdog is the best place to get in on all of the action. You can make entries and win money right here, right now in Alabama. And it's super, super duper easy to set up your entries on Underdog. Just choose whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats in basketball. Stats like points, rebounds, steals, assists. If you get those entries right, you could win up to 5,000 times your cash. Had a close one last night. I had some SEC basketball entries going on. One had Aiden Sherrell with Bama going higher than 9.5 points, which he did. He scored 11. And I had Tennessee freshman Nate Ament going higher than 21.5 points plus assists. He ended up with 21. So my entry,
whoa,
half a point or assist away from being a winner. But, you know, it makes it a whole heck of a lot of fun. And that's why I like having Underdog app open while I'm playing along with these games. You get your interest right, you could win up to 5,000 times your cash. Plus, I checked, they do have Olympic hockey in there, too, if you're making entries. Download the app today. Use promo code Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N, and score $75 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code Dalton. Underdog, make plays, win money. Must be 19-plus and present in Alabama. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/playing. Get terms underscore DFS underscore .html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-MY-RESET. Or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. April Marie in for Jeff. Are we allowed to say the news? I think so.
Yeah.
The announcement is out there.
Jeff,
about the baby.
They had baby number three.
Yeah.
Happy, healthy baby boy. Right. Yeah. They had a boy.
Yep.
So congrats to Jeff and Caroline, the whole family there. Three boys.
Three boys.
Man.
Rush, something like that.
Yeah, that's fantastic. We love our guy, Jeff. What a great family. Cindy said, driving while doing voice to text, so I hope this turns out right. I'm driving back from Atlanta and so glad I remembered about your app because I'm enjoying listening to you and catching up on everything local. Love you guys. Well, thank you, Cindy.
Thank you, Cindy, very much.
Love that, too. Butterknife says we need at least one or two Democrats on the Public Service Commission who are not pro-business in every sense. And a lot of you texted about the Public Service Commission. I'm sure that conversation will continue with Mobile Mornings tomorrow morning, Friday style at 6:00.